We shouldn't wink at it. We should tell it to go back to hell. Because God's people, if I read the scripture correctly, and I believe that I am, God's people are royal priesthood. Called and anointed and called. It's good to see you back in the house, Christian and Cindy.
Glad to be here,
buddy. I know, you only come when Alabama wins. But we have lived beneath our privilege. We've lived beneath what God said we can have, if you read the scriptures. The problem is we're not reading the scriptures clearly enough to understand that what he said is a seed. I'm taking my time there again. I'm saying I want everybody to be settled in, because something hit me this morning. I did this when we're in the other location. I talked about decree and declare. And I mentioned when I decree a thing, I'm telling you what is going to happen. I decree it. This is what will happen in simple terms. I decree it. This is what will happen. When I declare it, I'm saying that which I said will happen is going to come to pass. Does that make sense? So early this morning, I started realizing we are not speaking things as we should speak them, because until you speak it, it is not a spiritual reality. It is just a thought. Thoughts are wonderful, but thoughts are not going to move you into faith, because it's by your words that things are changed. Are you getting me? When God spoke to the heavens and the earth, he spoke. The Bible didn't say, and he thought it into creation or into being. He didn't say, I think it. He said, I spoke it into existence. So we as the people of God have got to learn, even if you're by yourself, speak things into existence. Say that back to me. I will speak things into existence. So today, I believe it's time for us to stand our ground and decree and declare that we will be in peace. Say that with me. I decree and declare I will be at peace. Now, do you mean that? I decree and I declare that I will be in health. Now, if y'all aren't going to do that in unison, we get pity-pat with it. I decree and I declare that I will be in health. Say it again. I will decree and declare I will be in health according to the word of God. I decree and declare I will be prosperous. I decree and declare I will sow and I will also reap. And I decree and declare that everything I touch will be fruitful. Now, don't be embarrassed to say that out loud, because the Lord really imparted in me today early, say it. Get the people to say it, because until you say it, you're thinking it, but your thoughts is not what God wants. He wants you to speak it, because even the angels are listening to what you say. They're not listening to what you think. They're listening to what you say, because it is by the word that they are commanded. Study the Bible. It'll make it clear. It's by his word. Even the angels, they're ministering spirits that hearken to the voice of his word. That's Bible. His commandments. His word. So when we speak his word, angels perk up. Angels come to attention. They don't come to attention when an Alan's sitting here thinking, man, I'm telling you, I'm sick and I don't feel too good and I'm just low down and nothing's going. That's not where they're moving. I really need you, God. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking that. It's when I say, in the name of Jesus, according to the word of God, those things that have troubled me will trouble me no more. I decree and declare it, and I stand in faith believing. No matter what it looks like, God is on my side.
Amen.
See, this is totally off my message today, but it really works with life in motion. Because many of us are not moving in motion with the word of the living God. Matter of fact, so many people have forgotten about what God has done for them. And that's why we're not even praising God anymore. You know why we're not praising Him? We're not thinking about what He's done for us. I want to praise Him that He's kept me alive. Because so many times I could be dead, off the scene, not being here speaking to you today, but be laying in some grave or in some ashes somewhere. But you have to understand, God preserved my life so I could speak this word, and this word will never die. God, I feel good today. When you realize the Holy Spirit is dwelling within your mortal bodies, and that Holy Spirit was with you before birth, and He'll be with you into the eternities. I don't know if that excites anybody else, but it excites me. Something in me has changed because I do believe that what He said He would do, He's... You say, well, go ahead and finish, man. That He's going to do it. No, no, no. That which He said He's going to do has already been done. I decree and declare it. I'm prosperous. You say, but I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it to have it. I could preach on that all day. I know a lot of you don't want to sit here that long. I may have to have y'all stand up in a few minutes just to get your blood circulating again. Isn't it nice in here today? It feels good in here today. Wasn't it beautiful outside? But what you have to understand, life in motion is so important. And life in motion with the Word of God is powerful. But many of us get into this thing called, I'm in my comfort zone, Bishop. I can't be involved because I want to be in my comfort zone. And don't mess with my comfort zone, because when you mess with my comfort zone, I don't deal with that well. Has anybody ever felt that way? Why is that? Because when you are comfortable, it becomes easy. I'm comfortable and easy. That's my comfort zone. Comfortable and easy. But have you ever thought that those things that keep you comfortable and easy, now mark this down, they may be also what's keeping you small. It's encapsulated you. It's keeping you in an area where God's trying to expand you, and you're trying to de-span. Instead of expand, you're trying to de-span, if that's a word. It is now. A friend of mine, you know James Thing, he came up with the word Sedonomics, and he went to the dictionary to find it. Sedonomics was nowhere in the English language. So you know what he did? He patented it and copyrighted it. And anybody uses that word now, they got to pay him. So as of this day, deselect, whatever I just said. But those things will keep you small. How many people want to stay small? I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about where you can go and what you can accomplish. I don't know how far I'll get in this message today, but I hope I get far enough to where you get excited and realize that you came here today to live and not die. You came here to grow and to sow. If you want to grow, you have to sow. If you don't sow, forget growth. You see, the truth is God rarely calls us to what I call the comfortable zone. God very rarely calls us into that which is comfortable. He calls us into that which is transformational. He wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He wants your mind renewed so you can speak the word and believe the word and trust the word and walk in the word. Man, if you catch this today, there's nothing that can stop you. You say, well, I'm a little old now. I'm over the hill. No, 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 no. Just remember this. When you get over the hill, what happens? You go down the other side at a great speed. I'm ready to move at a greater speed. So I want to be transformed. I don't want to be comfortable. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Sometimes God will push you literally out of the proverbial boat. God will push you out of the boat before you think you're ready. I'm not ready for that, God, but boop, here it comes. Here it comes. I'm not ready for that. But hear this. He's not pushing you out of the boat to drown you, but to develop you. He's not trying to drown you. He's trying to develop you. And don't blame anybody else. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the teacher. Don't blame the people sitting around you for your inadequacies. Well, I could be more if Steve had let me or Randy had let me. They have nothing to do with where I'm going. They can't stop me. They can't hinder me. They can come against me. But let me tell you, when you come against what God has placed in your life, those things will be defeated. Am I making sense today? Everybody take a deep breath. Aren't you glad you're in clean air today? Listen, when I was a little boy, I don't even know how old I was. I may have been 8 or 9 years old. I couldn't even swim because back then nobody had swimming pools. Everybody's broke. I mean, if you're lucky, you go to a motel and they had a swimming pool out there. So my daddy decided to teach me to swim. And here's the way he taught me to swim. He was out there fishing, and I was with him. And we were at the Chickamauga Dam in Tennessee. Has anybody ever driven over that dam? The Chickamauga Dam, if you look on the other side where the lake is, it's real deep. We're sitting there. I can see the dam. The dam is probably 200 feet away. We're sitting there at the dam, and Daddy says, it's time for you to learn to swim. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. This is the way the old-timers thought about it. He said, come here, son. So I walked over to him. See, we baby our kids too much. My daddy had me grabbing 220 volts, thinking I could, I'm telling you, he wanted me to test it. And guess what I found out? It worked. That's why I'm a little jerky now. But he ties a rope around my waist, takes me to the back of the boat. I said, what you going to do? He said, watch. He said, I'm going to throw you in. Now, that water is dark there at that dam. It ain't light. There ain't no shimmering. It ain't beautiful. It's dark. And he tosses me out. Learn to swim. Now, understand, he didn't do that to hurt me. He didn't do that to harm me. He pushed me out of the boat to develop me because what I knew was no matter what, I remember him saying, I've got you, son. And I knew that on the other side of that rope was my daddy. And he wasn't going to let me drown. Oh, I may flail around and I may go under a couple of times, but he was going to pull me back to the surface. Hear me when I tell you, God may get you out of your boat of comfort, but when he does, he has a rope around you called the power and might of the Holy Spirit, and he'll pull you back to the surface. I'm telling you, y'all need to be excited today. You need to be as excited as I am because God is changing your life. He's even making Larry better. I'm just excited because death has to give way over to him. Victory is his. It's ours. Will you say with me, victory is mine? So whenever I get in trouble, I hear God saying, I've got you, son. I've got you, son. I've got you, son. I don't have to worry. He pulls me right back up where I need to be. And how God takes care of you, Deb, you know what God's done for you. It's a miracle. We're not going to her testimony, but she's gone through some miracle circumstances in the last month or so. I've gone through some miracle circumstances. It's not been easy. No, I've gone through some hell. But hell's not a bad thing because, you see, the fire tempers you. I'll get off that for a second. But I want to give you some scriptures that we're going to touch on through this process here today. And I want to take you to Matthew 14:28. And what happens here is the disciples are out in their boat. The disciples are doing what they want to do, trying to go to the other side of the lake. I think it's Lake Gennesaret. I mean, it's so big, it's like an ocean, and storms come up all the time there. And guess what? They're in a storm. And the wind, the Bible says the wind is blowing vehemently. It's growing and it's glowing. I mean, the waves are getting big and they're getting nervous. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I believe the Bible calls it the third watch, I can't remember. But at about 3 o'clock in the morning, guess what? Jesus comes walking by the boat looking at them. They think they've saw a ghost. They didn't see a ghost. They saw Jesus walking on the water, coming out toward them. Now watch this. Matthew 14, verse 28 and 29 in the New Living Translation. I like different translations. Then Peter called to him, if you're not a ghost, Lord, is it really you? If it's really you, then tell me to come to you walking on the water, if it's really you. And Jesus, well, let's see it. Next verse, 28. Yes, come. Jesus said, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We'll address that in a moment. Because you see, God, when he gets you in those scenarios, he's trying to teach you something new. Jesus didn't do anything flagrant. He didn't do anything nonchalant. Everything he did taught somebody something. Everything. Now watch. We find in Isaiah 43:19, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? That's Isaiah 43:19. Don't you see it? It's something new. But something new, we'll get into that in a moment. Then we go back into the faith that I was talking about a minute ago. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another translation says it this way. Faith shows the reality. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So my faith is evidence. My faith is evidence. I can take it into court and win the court battle because faith stands. It's a tangible, powerful, real force. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By those things, the world was framed and formed. Now, understand, in this human condition, we love, and I know everybody here does, you love the illusion of safety. Because it is an illusion. Make no mistake of that. I love the illusion of safety. I'm going to decree and declare today that I'm going to be out of debt. Watch everybody in here. You're a preacher. You shouldn't be out of debt. I'm more than a preacher. If I was to list all the things I've done in my life, you wouldn't believe it. I didn't realize how much stuff I'd done in my life until they put me on a stand in a courtroom. They asked me how I got to where I am, and I started telling them. I said, man, I'm pretty powerful. Yeah. You need to say, I decree and declare I'll be out of debt.
I decree and declare I'll be out of debt.
Why would we want to be out of debt? You know why? So we could do something further for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Why in the world would he give us something unless we were going to do something with it?
That's
just fact. That's why I said you ask for those things. Why? To consume it upon your own lust. He said you'll not get it. But when you say, God, I want to further your kingdom. I want to see your kingdom grow. I want to see us ministering to more people. I want to see us reaching people that are lost, that are apathetical, that are lethargic, that don't even care about God anymore. Although they grew up in the church, they don't even come to church. Isn't that sad? So we love the illusion of safety. We love the familiar, don't we? Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, we sit in the same seat every Sunday. Praise you, Lord. Unless I sit in my seat, I don't feel God. That's the familiar. We sit in the same seat every Sunday. Matter of fact, we drive the same route to work every day. You can almost put it on autopilot. That's what I do. I just get in and pray, God, get me there. No. We try to drive the same. Now, here's one we all do. We talk to the same people. Now, that one is a real, same old people. Well, Steve called me this week. I had to talk to him again. Randy, I couldn't get off the phone with Randy. And all we're doing is talking about the same stuff we've always talked about, and we're not developing anything new. Right. Not that I don't like to talk to them, but what about the new people God wants you to speak to? Have you ever thought about that? God wants you to, Pat, maybe he wants you to talk to somebody. Maybe, Deb, God wants you to tell somebody what you've gone through. It's not just a simple thing where I'm okay and everything's all right and I don't have to do this, so I'll just talk to the same old people and rub the same shoulders. And you know what? You're going to be the same person you've always been. Matter of fact, I had somebody say to me, I'll know your future by the people you hang out with. Always hang out with somebody that lifts you up, not brings you down. Sissy, that's just fact. If somebody's bringing you down, do this. I've enjoyed talking to you. Bye. Why would you want to talk to somebody that brings you down or brings you away from your faith? Matter of fact, more people in God are telling me how I can't do it than people are standing around saying you can do it. Tired of that. Am I helping anybody today? I hope that I am. You know, we talk to the same people. Matter of fact, we go to the same restaurants and we order the same food at the same restaurant, talking to the same waitress, so much so the waitress will walk up and say, I know what you want. I said, hold it. Denise will tell you. I say, she'll tell you, give me a menu. I might change my mind. Because I want to try something new. Maybe something I'll enjoy more. So we go to the same restaurant. We order the same food. And so much so everybody knows who we are and what's going on. And sometimes we even pray the same prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much for today and I really want you to help me. Bye. That's not communication. I mean, it's just like kissing your wife or your husband. After a while, it becomes, you know, give me a kiss. What does that mean? There's no intimacy in that. or give me a hug. There's no intimacy. It's, all you're doing is going through the repetitive motion. Unless you feel it, don't do it. There's nothing new in that. But here's the catch in all this. It all may be well and good, comfortable to you, but comfort can quietly become a cage. Let that sink in for a second. Comfort might just become a cage. Why is that so? Why does that hit me so? Because you understand, because it becomes a cage because you never stretch your boundaries. You never stretch or reach out from where you are. Everybody in this room has been created for more. That song meant something. You were created for more. What's more than? More than where you are right now. You can't be complacent or be happy with where you are. God has more for all of us. Do you think I'm happy with where we are and I'm happy with what we're doing? But I'm always saying, God, open a door. God, open a door. Whatever it's open, I'm walking through it. If I even think it's open, I'm stepping through it, God. God has to be careful with me because I'll jump. I jump quick. And then people have to calm me down. I mean, Pastor Mike, I need him with me every day to say, Bishop, you better think about this. Because sometimes I just move before it doesn't make sense. Like betting on an Alabama game. I mean, you know, it don't make sense. But you never stretch your boundaries. God's calling us today to decree and declare that we'll stretch our boundaries. You see, transformation that we were talking about, transformation requires change. Matter of fact, even our seasons, it requires change. Cold, hot, spring, fall, winter, summer, all those things require. Now, here's something that's very unique. In order for those seasons to occur, there has to be change on the planet. The planet has to tilt away or toward the sun. It has to change. If it doesn't change, you only have one season. But it tilts toward or away from the sun. And there has to be, I'm saying this today to you, there has to be change in your life in order for your season of growth to occur. Now, I can't teach it like James Payne, but you have to understand, when you plant a seed in the ground, it's all according to where that sun is in reference, where that earth is, where the earth is in reference to the sun. And if you really want to grow, you're going to have to tilt toward God's purpose and plan. You're going to have to tilt toward His decree for your life. Is everybody ready for a tilt? No, I'm comfortable. I'm in my comfort zone, Bishop. I'll raise my hand like this week, and that's all you're going to get from me. Because I'm real happy sitting right where I is. Nobody bothering me. Because I ain't listening to you anyway, Bishop. All I'm worried about is, can I get to the restaurant and eat? But Jesus said to his disciples, when they was worried about food, he said, I have a food you know not of. Jesus. So there has to be change in the earth, and in your life, so seasons of growth can occur in you. And I want growth. Matter of fact, say, I decree and declare growth. Good. So what happens, though, when you get stuck in the familiar? What happens when you get stuck there? Well, let's just look at the animal kingdom. Years ago, zookeepers, they were discovered that when tigers were born in captivity, that they lost their instinct to hunt. Oh, watch this. They were alive. They looked like tigers, but they were limited. They were tigers, but they were limited. Limited to only what they knew. Limited by their environment. What environment are you in today that is limiting you? That's why they have to train them to hunt again. Literally, have to train a wild beast to hunt again. If not, they don't know what to do. They just keep waiting for you to bring them a bowl. Their strength is still there. They're still very strong, and they're very big, but their environment has taught them something. And what is that, Bishop? To stop reaching and to stop seeking for more. I wonder how many of us, we've got all the strength we need, we've got all the word, we got all this glory built up in us, but we've stopped reaching and we've stopped seeking for more, created for more. I mean, you have to understand, I want to go back here and I'm going to say this. What is the message today? Faith over the familiar. Say that back to me. Faith over the familiar. You see, what happened to those tigers is what happens to us spiritually. When we settle for familiar faith. It's familiar. Everybody take a deep breath. But that's what happens to us spiritually when we settle, Pastor Mike, for the familiar faith. It's just familiar. Faith that is familiar is not faith at all. If it's not stretching you. Here's something you got to hear. You can love Jesus. I love him. I love Jesus. But still live in a cage. A cage of what? A cage of comfort. Never stretching into what God has intended for your life to be. You can love him. Is this something the Lord placed? He gave this to me. You can love him to a degree, but never follow him in his decree. That's what he said to me. You can love me in a degree, but never follow me in the decree. What he's saying. Every day of my life now, I say, Lord, look, whatever you're saying, Holy Spirit, you said, God, Jesus, you said, Holy Ghost would be sent, and he would call all things to my remembrance. And I said, I want you to call all things to my remembrance, and whatever Jesus has said or is saying to me, I want to hear it clearly. Yeah. And I decree and declare that every day. Yeah. I don't want to miss that. Whatever God is saying, I want to hear it. Do I get angry? Yeah, I got angry this week. I had to apologize to God because of circumstances and people. You know why I get mad? People. I'm going to do like James Payne said. He said, when I was pastoring, he said, I had already planned on it. If I backslid, he said, I had a list of people I was going to kill. Why? Because people. Don't let people dictate where you're headed. What decree? Faith, hope, love, ability. Faith begins where market, faith begins where comfort ends. What do you mean? Peter didn't walk on the water because he figured it out. If it had been Steve, he'd been in there trying to figure it out. I don't understand this. Now the water and weight and this. Peter didn't understand the physics of the event. All he knew, he walked on water because Jesus said, come. He didn't try to figure it out. He just climbed out of the boat. You see, faith has to be beyond the obvious. Something the Lord, another one he spoke me to. You have to see beyond the obvious into the supernatural power of the Word of God, beyond the obvious. This is what's going to happen. Doctor says you've got a tumor, and this is what's going to happen. Well, I know in reality, yes, I have that tumor, but you're looking at the obvious, but I'm looking at the supernatural power of the Word of God that says, I am healed by His stripes. By His stripes I'm made whole. Yes, it is there, but watch this. It's going to be gone. That's just the way I feel. Yeah, we're tried on that and tested on that, but that's when you stand and say, look, enough is enough. The word stands, no matter what I feel, because feeling will lie to you. The word is seed. I'll let James Payne come and preach on that one Sunday. I'm going to tell you, one of the most powerful messages I've heard was James Payne preaching on three things that the devil don't want you to believe in or sow into. Powerful. The word is seed, and faith makes it grow. Faith makes the seed grow. Without faith, it's like trying to plant a seed with no sun. It'll never happen. Notice, I want you to remember, in the boat, Peter sees him, says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come, and Jesus says, come. Have you ever thought the other disciples stayed in the boat? The other disciples are still sitting in the boat. They saw the same miracle opportunity like you are today. I'm giving you that opportunity. The same miracle opportunity. They heard the same invitation, but only one stepped out of the boat. Because the boat represents comfort. Why? It's predictable. It's stable. It's like I said, why would I go parachuting and jump out of a perfectly good plane? Makes no sense to me. Why would I jump in shark-infested waters to observe sharks when I've got a perfectly good boat? Oh, now a shark will eat you. Okay, you may love them, but they'll eat you. I saw a man petting one on a reel. He's petting a shark thinking he could, you know that technique where they touch one another? And it bit his hand off. I saw it on the reel. Bit his hand off. But he didn't mean it. It don't matter if he meant it. It's like I went into somebody's house and my mother was afraid of dogs, scared to death of dogs. We walked into a house and the owner of the dog said, that dog won't bite you. Mother said, won't bite you. No, he said, don't worry, the dog won't bite you. What did that dog do? It bit her. My mother was two-stepping all over that house. But the boat represents predictability and stability. But it's also limiting. It's limiting. Why? Because you're in that little bitty vessel. You're in that confinement. You're in that environment. So write this down in your little faith book. Sometimes the very thing that makes you feel safe is the thing keeping you from seeing God's power. But I feel safe. I feel safe, Collis. You know, I keep praying that God, you know, just send somebody's really rich that could help us. And God says, well, when you find them, tell me. Because it's not the rich that help. It's the people that understand the power of sowing. How many people know I just told you the truth? Very seldom will the rich help. It will be the one that need help that help. And then God helps them. Amen. But you have to look beyond the obvious. Well, I need help too. I need this. I need that. As a matter of fact, we should be calling Anita. Anita, Anita, Anita. Because we need something. So I'll ask you this. Well, let me mention this first. In all this, I want you to think of the butterfly. How many people love butterflies? But you do realize the butterfly starts out inside a cocoon. If it stays too long in the cocoon, it dies in the same place. It dies in the same place that was meant for its development. So you're in an area and you think you got comfortable there, but God was only using that temporarily for your development. He don't want you to get comfortable there. Don't get comfortable in poverty. Well, my daddy was poor. My mama was poor. My granddaddy was poor. And I'm going to be poor. Well, that's the problem. You don't have to be poor. Some of the richest people in the nation right now started out with nothing. That's the truth. That is truth. Study them. Growth requires breaking what once felt like home, where you were comfortable. So I'll ask you today this, what's your boat? What is your boat? What are you getting comfortable in? Maybe it's a job that pays well, okay? Maybe a job that pays well but drains your soul. Listen, some people say it this way, I live to work. I don't. I work to just live. I don't live to work. I work to live. Some of you spend your whole, listen, you work all these years and so you can retire and enjoy the golden years, and you realize the golden years ain't that gold. Because you ain't got enough energy. Denise was talking about going on a vacation somewhere. She's talking to somebody. She said, you ought to take Alan and go there. She said, well, why? He's so old. He can't walk up those steps. Thank you very much. But she's right.
It was an all-day walk.
An all-day walk. She don't know that greater is in me. Greater is him that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to conquer those steps. Larry told me, he said, he wasn't going to come up and down those steps out here anymore. He said, I'm going on the elevator. I said, son, all you got to do is lean forward and the gravity will take you down. Hold on tight, brother. So it may be a job that's stripping your soul. Maybe it's a relationship. You're in that boat with that relationship, and it's stripping your soul. It's making you comfortable but not healthy. Ain't nobody like that in here, but you, at least you can preach it now and teach it to somebody. It may be comfortable but not healthy. Maybe it's spiritual routine. It's gotten safe, but it's no longer stretching your faith. It's just a routine. What do you mean? Well, we get in a routine, we give. I'm going to give $5, and we're giving $5 for 10 years. And we keep giving that $5, not realizing that's become routine to you. You need to break the routine and stretch yourself a little bit. And realize God maybe want more from you. He said, well, wait a minute, Bishop. You're talking about sowing seed. Money's not seed. Oh, yes, it is. It certainly is. As much as the farmer has to gather those seeds and plant those seeds, sometimes we have to plant. You only reap what you sow. I'll leave that with you. So maybe a spiritual routine feels safe, but it's not stretching you anymore, Jeff. The new thing in your life that we read in Isaiah 43:19, it requires a new you. For I'm about to do something new. Do you not see it? The hardest part about stepping out into the new is leaving the old. Matter of fact, this is a fact. The greatest opponent to a new move of God is an old move of God. The old move will always fight it. If we've always done it this way, people will come in and say, well, that's not the way we've done it. And God said, good. Matter of fact, look, yeah, we used to have 100 plus on our stage singing and playing. Some of y'all remember that. Oh, yeah, but that's the way we've always done it. We're not doing it that way now. Why? Because that's not the way God wanted it. If he had wanted it any differently, he'd have sent me the proper people to put into place to get them up here playing. Where I was very musically oriented, and I wanted that. That's who I was. I mean, I'm a recording artist. I mean, I love music. But God says, look, you've put emphasis on music instead of the word. Music won't heal you. Music may make you lift your feet a little bit, but the word will heal you and it'll make you to dance to a new rhythm. It'll make you dance because your body can't stand it no more. You're just excited because the word of God is alive in your life. I'm almost through. Man, what time is it? Somebody said, don't ask. So the greatest opponent of a new move of God is that old move and old people that don't care. You really show your age when you say, I'm stuck in my way. Well, you need to get stuck out of your way. I don't want to die stuck in my way. I'm going to be stuck in God's way. You see, people get so comfortable, they just won't let go. Mark this one down. God doesn't bring you into new seasons. He brings a new you into those seasons. He doesn't just bring you into new seasons. He brings a new you into this season. That's important. But the you that is afraid, point at yourself, the you that is afraid to leave the familiar can't thrive in the unfamiliar. Because you're dragging the familiar with you. You cannot thrive in the unfamiliar. There has to be faith over the familiar. Some of y'all are tech savvy. Some of you aren't. But it doesn't matter. You still try it. You'll take your phone and you'll try to update it. But I want you to see it this way. You take a phone and you keep updating it, but you never delete any old apps or information that's stored on that phone. And you continue to do it, and you continue to do it, and you continue to do it. Eventually, the phone will crash our computer. It will crash. Not because it's broken. Not because it's broken, but because it's full. And we're so full of... Thank you. My wife keeping me saved today. We're so full of the old stuff, we can't put anything new in us. I want something new, Collis. I want something that excites me. What excites you, Alan? The Word of God. It really is exciting me now. Because every day of our life, it's a new exploit. It's a new adventure. This week really tested me. I mean, I had to really use my spiritual brain power to work through some things. Oh, I had some people praying for me. If it wasn't for that, I'd have done committed suicide. No, I wouldn't. I mean, I'd have committed murder, not suicide. But it's the Word of God that keeps us sane. Because I remember, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And any tongue that rises up against me, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. That's Bible. You happy, Christian? You say, I didn't come here today to hear this. Well, I don't know what you came to hear. Because God's wanting something more out of this group. You say, well, we're just a small group. Not really. We're still in the 90% of the churches in the nation are smaller than this group right here. 90%. If you don't believe it, go around the corner of that church back over there. Right around the corner. Just walk around there. You'll see. They've been in it for a long time. It's not in numbers. It's in quality. 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 There has to be faith. Say it to me. There has to be faith over the familiar. So I do not want to be full of the old. I want to be full of the new that's coming to me. Because many of us spiritually crash. Many people that are walking have been walking. Spiritually, the believers crash. Why? Because they're trying to hold on to the old comfort zones while downloading new purpose. They're trying to download new purpose and hold on to the old comfort zones, and it just won't work. So let me say this. Faith is not about feeling ready. It's about being willing. That's the story. Matter of fact, one thing we should say is I decree and declare I will be obedient. See, that gets a little quieter. I decree and declare I'm obedient. That one is a tough one because obedience sometimes brings us into an area of sacrifice. But that's a good thing because God will never let you outgive him. It's not his nature. It's just not his nature. If we all wait to feel ready, I'm going to wait and I'm going to hold on to the Lord. Until I feel ready, you'll never move. You'll just be standing here like this, waiting to move, because you're waiting to feel ready. I mean, how many people get married because they feel ready, and then they walk down the aisle and say, you know what, I've had them come right to the aisle and say, I don't think I'm ready. I have, and I look at them and say, well, y'all have come a little bit too far. Either you feel it or you don't. You have to be willing and not just feel ready. Peter did not feel ready. I can tell you that now. He just trusted the voice of the one who called him. Almost through. But I'm afraid, Bishop. Fear is normal. Don't say it's not. Don't let somebody condemn you. Fear is normal, but staying still is dangerous. Hebrews 11:1 reminds us that faith is about believing before seeing. What does that mean? You won't always get a road map. Sometimes all God gives us is a one-word command. Go. That's it. So, let me hurry myself here. Every faith story begins with fear. Go through the Bible. Every faith story begins with fear but ends with fulfillment. I really want to say a few things. You're going to have to overcome this thing, these two little words, if you're going to be successful in God. You know what that is, Pastor Mike? Don't say it. Here's the two words you're going to have to overcome. What if? Well, what if I can't do this? What if I can't do that? What if they don't like me? What if I lose that job? What ifs will drive you insane. You have to overcome that and say, you know, what if I become victorious? What if I'm successful? What if I make it and quit faking it? You see, the what ifs can go, but you need to do away with the what ifs, because in God it's yea and amen.
Amen.
Am I right or wrong? You may feel insecure and afraid of change. You may miss the predictability of what used to be. You may miss that. But the valley of uncertainty is the proving ground of faith. Let me say that again. The valley of uncertainty is the proving ground of faith. It's where trust grows roots. Peter began to sink when he started to look at the wind and the waves. Because his focus shifted, he quit looking at Jesus and he looked at what was surrounding him. Quit looking at what's surrounding you and focus back on Jesus. I mean, that's fact. Familiarity feeds fear. Familiarity feeds fear, but focus fuels. But focus fuels faith. Don't fixate. Here's the story. Don't fixate on what's shaking and quaking around you. Focus on who's standing. And if Jesus is standing, hey, I'm going to watch him. Doesn't matter what the storm's doing. Matter of fact, when I die, close these eyes for the final time, I'm going to decree and declare the first person I'm going to see is Jesus. I will see him. And I'm going to walk up to him and say, you are my hero. Because he is. He is my hero. When Peter started sinking, hold this. You say, well, I'm afraid. I'm about to close here. When Jesus, in that situation with Peter, you say, well, I don't know about stepping out, Bishop. I'm afraid of failure. When Peter started sinking, because look at that, his failure. When Peter started sinking, Jesus didn't scold him. He saved him. He didn't scold, he saved him. Now here's something you're going to have to think about. Sometimes, everybody say sometimes. Sometimes the miracle isn't that you walked on water. Sometimes the miracle isn't that you walked on water. It's that you had the courage to get out of the boat. Because if you don't have the courage to get out of the boat, there is no hope. So step out. So step out. How could I start stepping out this week? Well, maybe, I'm going to stop. I've got a lot more to say. But just maybe it's you stepping out and forgiving somebody that hurt you deeply. You have to step out of your boat to do that because you are comfortable despising that person. Is that true? They hurt me. I want to hurt them back. Or maybe you need to pray a bold prayer. Does anybody remember how to do that? A bold prayer like, God, oh God, move me beyond what's comfortable. Get careful, be careful. God, move me beyond what's comfortable. Lord, if you say come, give me the faith to step. Remember this, if faith doesn't challenge you, it's probably not stretching you. Hmm. Faith doesn't need full instructions. It just needs clear direction. I love this. Got so many thoughts here. The next chapter of your life isn't inside the lines of what's familiar. God never called you to settle. He called you to step. The edge of your comfort is where your calling begins. Because faith truly does not flourish in the familiar. It flourishes in the motion. It flourishes in motion.